It's customary for speakers at a graduation ceremony to give advice to the new graduates, to share with them words of wisdom to inspire them in their next stage of life. Perhaps because such sage advice is in somewhat limited supply, much of what is said at these events has been said before and will likely be said again. With that in mind, let me give you a two-part charge to the graduates, which I doubt you have heard in any graduation ceremony you have attended. The first part is a simple two-word admonition. Be awful. Yes, you heard right. My advice to the graduates is be awful. You can see why I was so confident that you would not have heard this message in any prior graduations. Before you dismiss my advice as a completely inappropriate effort to be unique rather than helpful, let me explain what I mean by that charge. Linguists know well that the meaning of words can change dramatically over time. One form of change is what is called pejoration. Pejoration is the process by which a word with a positive or neutral meaning acquires negative connotations over time. A classic example of pejoration is shown by the history of the word silly. In the 13th century, believe it or not, the word silly meant worthy, good, pious, and holy. Over the ensuing centuries, however, the meaning changed first to innocent or harmless, then to deserving of sympathy, then to weak and feeble, then to ignorant, and by the 16th century, it had descended to foolish, its current meaning. The same thing has happened to the word awful. It, too, has pejorated. Centuries ago, awful had a very positive connotation. Its original meaning was awe-inspiring, worthy of respect, and profoundly respectful or reverential. But as one author explained, since what inspires awe isn't always so pleasant, over the centuries, awful came to mean something negative. It pejorated, linguists would say. And so today, awful has come to mean terrible, dreadful, or appalling. Something not just bad, but extremely bad. Hardly the kind of thing you would expect a graduation speaker to advise you to be. So my admonition to be awful is that you be awful in its original, unpejorated sense. That you always be aware of things that are awe-inspiring. I'm urging you to be full of awe, if you will. Psychologists have described awe as the experience of encountering something so vast in size, skill, beauty, intensity, that we struggle to comprehend it. It's the kind of thing Moses experienced when God showed him the purpose, creation, and history of this earth. Struggling to comprehend the grandeur of all he had seen, Moses greatly marveled and wondered, and as a result came to realize things he had never had supposed. He was in awe, or full of awe. Being awful in that way has its rewards. It makes life more full, more enjoyable, and more productive. As explained in a recent article in the Atlantic magazine, awe shrinks our ego. It makes us feel a greater sense of oneness with others. And this oneness can make us nicer. Research has found, for example, that inducing awe by having people stand in a grove of tall trees increased generosity. Awe also inspires our sense of time. One series of studies found that awe made time feel more plentiful, which increased life satisfaction. Most importantly, experiencing awe can help us keep things in perspective. That is what happened to Moses. His vision caused him to think deeply about the grandeur of God and his plan of salvation. He understood things he had never even supposed before. That, in turn, caused Moses to have greater faith in God and in God's plan for him. I'm confident that all of you, during your time here, learned something that you never had supposed. It may have been an insight into a subject you were studying. It may have been discovery of something you did not know about yourself. It may have been inspiration concerning the goodness of God and his love for you and others around you. I hope that each of you took advantage of those opportunities to be filled with awe, to be awful. Moreover, I hope you continue to have such experiences for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, increased knowledge can sometimes diminish our ability to experience awe. As President Dieter F. Uchtdorf put it, it seems to be human nature, as we become more familiar with something, even something miraculous and awe-inspiring, we lose our sense of awe and treat it as commonplace. Thus, the first part of my charge is to not let your education diminish your willingness to experience awe, for there is so much in the world around us that can cause us to be full of awe. Professor David Hart of our faculty stated it well in a devotional talk. He said, "Make an extra effort to find awe in the everyday aspects of your life and take a moment to say, wow. In so doing, your senses will be heightened and in turn will reveal more about you as well as additional opportunities to apply your uniqueness." Now, the second part of my two-part charge consists of a three-word admonition. Don't pagerate, ameliorate. Just as words can pagerate and acquire a more negative meaning over time, they can also acquire a more positive meaning. Linguists call this amelioration. A classic example is the word nice, which in the 12th century meant careless, clumsy, weak, poor, needy, but which through a series of changes over the centuries has ameliorated to mean kind and thoughtful. As each of you graduates from BYU, you will carry with you your good name and the good name of this university. What people think of those two names will largely depend on their interaction with you. The second part of my charge to you is that you never do anything to pagerate your name or the name of your alma mater, that you instead strive to ameliorate both. My hope is that those who encounter you and learn that you are a graduate of Brigham Young University will think better of BYU because they know you, that the term BYU will ameliorate, not pagerate, as a result of what you do and who you are. Moreover, most of us have also taken upon us the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Please do nothing to diminish the importance of that name, for it is the only name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved. As we are filled with awe for him and his works, as we act in accordance with the promptings we feel at such times, his name will not only ameliorate, but will eternally be glorified by what we do. I hope you make that one of your post-graduation goals as well. So there it is. Be awful. Don't pagerate. Ameliorate. Words to live by. May we all do so is my humble prayer, which I express in the awe-inspiring holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.